Well, you know, there's a lot of talk in Washington about changing the tax laws. And it's going to be a long, drawn-out process because there are many inputs on this, some in favor, some against. And I think this tax reform battle is going to continue well into the second half of 2017, and possibly they'll be able to agree on something that can get past the House and past the Senate. But it's going to be a lot of work to get it done. And they're talking about getting rid of a lot of deductions, and I think that getting rid of a lot of deductions, which they need to do to raise revenue because they want to cut rates big time, I think what we're looking at here right now is a full court press to try to raise revenue. They're looking pretty much everywhere, and now they're looking at tax-privileged account contributions. This is going to upset some people. Don't get upset yet, because this is only in the talking stage. Nothing's been legislated at this point. But understand that there is a pressing need for new revenue in order to pay for the reduced tax cuts. You see, this is the same thing that applies in the health care bill. The effort on the health care bill is to get rid of that 3.8% tax on high earners. Who's a high earner? Individuals making over $200,000, couples over $250,000 in adjusted gross income. That's defined as a high earner in the parlance of Washington, D.C., that is. And so in order to get rid of that onerous 3.8% tax on high earners, the way they are paying for that tax cut, and it is an enormous tax cut, is to simply reduce spending on health care. And by reducing spending on health care, they can create a huge amount of surplus money, which is then taken back by the cut in the rate. So that's what it comes down to. It's an offset for high earners to get a big tax cut, and it's an offset by the money that's being spent on health care. So at least it's balanced, right? You may or may not favor it, I'm not saying, but at least it's balanced. You're taking money out of healthcare expenses, and you're taking money and you're putting money into the pockets of high earners. At least you have a balance. You have a seesaw there. Well, yeah, the same thing applies to tax reform, because if you're going to slash the rates into the three new low rates, and you're going to slash the corporate rate, then you're going to have to come up with revenue, lots of it, tons of it, and that's where you have to look at deductions. They're looking at deductions. They are talking about various things. One of them now they're talking about is changing the rules on allowing you to deduct contributions to your traditional IRA, 401k, 403b, and 457. Right now, those contributions under current law are tax deductible when they go into those accounts, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, 457s. Well, now they're talking about the possibility of not allowing tax deductibility on those contributions. And if that turns out to be the case, a lot of money would be created in additional revenue that is now foregone when those contributions are deducted. Now, the problem with this, of course, is that most people don't have the pension accounts anymore. They've been replaced by these accounts. And that was the original purpose of creating these accounts, to encourage people to save and invest themselves. And now we don't know. Now we don't know until this is all resolved, and that's not going to be till late this year. Another thing they're looking at is removing the deductibility of state income taxes, property taxes, other state and local taxes, sales taxes. Most of this is usually in the form of property taxes, at least for a lot of people. This is property taxes as well as state income taxes, especially state income taxes. So if you're in Alaska or the state of Washington, or if you're in Nevada or Wyoming, or if you're in Florida or South Dakota or Texas, you don't really care because you're not paying state income taxes because they don't have them. But if you're in any of the other states and you're paying state income taxes, including even New Hampshire and Tennessee, where you do pay state income tax on unearned income but not on earned income, then you have your property tax issue, your other state and local taxes, sales taxes, all this. Well, this is under review. as to whether we'll allow any of these deductions. So we won't know this till later this year. We are told right now that the deductibility of mortgage interest and charitable deductions for now appear to be safe. Meanwhile, they're continuing to work on tax reform. It's a long, long process, and it so far it's taken second seed to the health care reform, which is still a long process that has to be worked out. Looks like that could drag into the summer. And they have to go to the Senate, then they have to have conferees, and they have to agree, and none of this is known at this point. So all of this is happening in the context of tax reform. First, tax reform associated with health care, and then tax reform associated with the tax code. And there's going to be a lot of negative feedback about any proposal to disallow tax-deductible deductions to these retirement accounts. As I say, they replaced, for many people, replaced pension accounts. And so they are a big deal for people now, getting that deduction, the people that take the deduction, that is. And, you know, I mean, not everybody has a good pension anymore. Most people are relying on these accounts. Now, there are exceptions. We had a California caller a couple of weeks ago who was eligible to take $1.8 million in a lump sum payout. This was a person that worked for years at one of the California state universities and now was retiring and was eligible to get a $1.8 million lump sum payout. Well, not everybody has that option. And the vast majority of people don't have that option. And by the way, it's those kinds of payouts that have caused problems for a number of states in the various benefits they've provided to state workers. And who pays for that? If you said the taxpayer, you got that right. We'll return with our guest segment. First, I want to take a look at the week ahead because there are a number of things happening on Wall Street this week, but not that many. Most of them are happening at the end of the week. Of course, we'll get the jobless claims update on Thursday. We've had 2 years of fantastic jobless claims, and they have continued. They're expected to continue this week. We'll also get the consumer price index on Friday, and we're expecting to see maybe 0.3% on the consumer price index on Friday for the month. The year-over-year has been running a little bit over 2%, but the Fed prefers the other gauge, the personal consumption expenditure gauge, and that's been behaving itself much better than the CPI, which is not a good barometer of inflation. CPI is not a good barometer. Of course, that's the one the government uses for inflation indexing because the government makes a lot of mistakes. This is just one of them. We'll also get retail sales coming out on Friday, and they're expected to show a bounce, a nice bounce. And retail sales is expected on Friday. All in all, not that much coming out this week in terms of economic data. Well, I wonder if it's fair to compare a relatively highly developed society and economy like the USA to what is arguably still an emerging economy in China. Is that a fair comparison?
Well, China's beat just about all the other emerging economies, so they do have a secret sauce. I'm not saying we should be like China or pollute as much as they do or be an autocracy. But nonetheless, is there something in Chinese risk-taking, Chinese business sense that we can learn from? I think the answer is absolutely yes. And you see it when Chinese come to this country. They bring some of that formula with them, and they've done great. I say good for them.
I see a lot of them wearing masks because they can't breathe their own air.